Hey, all you nerds out there, are you looking for more wrestling content or podcasts? Then go on over to Facebook, Spotify, iTunes, Twitter, and SoundCloud, and check out NXT and We with PJ and Brett. These fellow nerds review every single NXT episode and also have their very own wrestling interview series, among other fun stuff. So go check out NXT and We today with PJ and Brett. Also, A-Rock Designs. I want to take a minute to give a quick shout out to A-Rock Designs. That is spelled A-R-O-C-K-K Designs. A-Rock Designs is ran by Ashley Rodriguez. She makes all those cool wrestling cups you see floating around. So if you want to get your hands on any custom merchandise, hit up Ashley Rodriguez at A-Rock Designs. If you can think it, she can make it. Last but not least, do you love wrestling and do you want to talk more about wrestling? Then head on over to Wrestling Review Society on Facebook. WRS is ran by my good friend Kevin Rodriguez. Kevin interviews your fave pro wrestlers every week and has the most amazing free, that's right, free giveaway. All you have to do is join Wrestling Review Society on Facebook and you could be the next big winner. And welcome to a bonus episode on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. I am here with Hearts and Stan from Talk of Champions, and we're here to talk about the 2011 Money in the Bank pay-per-view. What is going on, guys? How are you?
Hi, Justin. How are you?
I'm good. Well, thank you for letting me stream off here, and thank you guys for coming on the show today and joining me and talking about this.
Man, it's a pleasure. The pleasure is all ours, honestly. We're talking about this Money in the Bank business on the weekend of. It's no more appropriate than to be with you on this fine afternoon.
Ah, you're too sweet. You guys are too sweet. Too. Before we talk about wrestling, like what else have you guys been up to during this whole quarantine, this whole madness?
Watching wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, really. We've kind of dove into this whole wrestling podcast streaming world on fly. You know, like we've been kind of busy, as y'all could probably see. But that's really what we've been putting a lot of our time and effort in, just trying to be as astute on things as we can, so we can, you know, deliver kind of product out there.
I love that. Wrestling, that's all I've been doing too. Watching wrestling, watching Netflix, watching The Office over and over and over again. Watching Disney Plus and just doing podcasts like crazy. I'm sure you guys know that. I'm happy for you guys, you know, starting your channel here. You guys seem like you're absolutely killing it. Tell the nerds of wrestling who don't really know you guys, tell them what Talk of Champions is all about.
Would you like to take the lead, sir?
I would love to, my dear. Well, Talk of Champions is basically that place you come for that real talk on wrestling. And we don't just stop the wrestling. It's Talk of Champions. So we'll go into anything that has anything to do with being a champion. It just so happens that we love wrestling, and that happens to be the focal point of everything. And more so than that, like, we don't spend a lot of time on current things, but we don't spend a lot of time on current things. we kind of
are not current.
you ask me, like, we have different philosophies. Like, you ask me, I'll chop it up AEW with you, whatever, and some NXT business going on, and more on that later. But you know, for the most part, we like to reflect back on the good times and give you that good feel, like how it used to be. A lot of shirts, you know what I'm saying? So,
I haven't watched AEW yet.
You haven't watched AEW yet?
I've seen clips and stuff.
It's good. It's really good.
I hear that. Hi, Abraham.
What up, Abraham?
Abraham,
what up, Abraham?
Say hello to him as well.
Hello, Abraham. Hello. Oh, sorry, guys. Hello, Abraham. Hello, DeAndre. What's up? Thank you guys for joining today.
So, I haven't watched it yet. Here's the thing. It started because I have Keith with TNT. And I was like, yo, I ain't dealing with nothing on TNT. Screw TNT, you know? and then it kind of carried on. And it was just like, you know, like, when it comes, it comes.
All right. AEW is good. I'm a big fan of AEW. I'm also just like a big fan of independent professional wrestling. So it's kind of like a win-win for me. And kind of like a win-win for a lot of people who like independent wrestling. And they get to see like a giant independent wrestling show on TV weekly. So it's amazing. It's really good.
Oh, but no. I want to say this because I don't want people to think I haven't watched
it. No.
I don't fuck with WWE either. So, yeah. I rather watch old stuff. And I think because I took a strike on wrestling after WCW brought out, I can go back and watch old wrestling, but it's harder for me to really, really get into anything after 2001.
That's understandable. I feel like it, a lot of people feel that way about certain years. Like, hell, I can't get into it after, 2008. I can't get into it after, 2006. It's completely understandable. Yeah. Have you guys always been just a big fan of wrestling?
Yeah. It's been around my whole life.
Definitely.
I know how to spell Jeff Jarrett's name before I know how to spell mine.
Actually talk about the pay-per-view, like, what are some wrestlers that you guys really looked up to and just really admired watching wrestling?
Jeff Jarrett, Shawn Michaels. I love Kevin Nash. I love Scott Hall. Just those guys. Just those Sting. Like, how could I not? Sting was amazing.
We got The Rock, obviously.
Real NWA. Rock?
Ladies and gentlemen, forgive her. She knows not what she speaks of. The Rock, number one. Number two, NWO, really. Anything having to do with NWO. You got to put Shawn Michaels, the click up there. Love the way they move. Steve Austin. Anybody that really brought any kind of larger than life feel to you. Macho Man. Anybody that kind of stood out to you as roll over you, do what we want kind of guys.
All right. What year really did you guys start watching this, or just was it your whole life?
You might as well say that. I would say 90, whenever WCW and the World Tour came out, that's when I really got into it. So I was 6 years old. But yeah, from the time I was 6 years old, I've been up in this,
I guess we could call this the first episode of What's Up Nerds too, because I'm just getting to know more about you guys as well.
Hold on, Justin, wait a minute, where are you coming from here? Wait, what's some of your favorites?
You want to know about me now? Okay, I started watching wrestling in 2005, 2006, and, one of the wrestlers that really, really grabbed my attention, a very cliche answer was John Cena. Just a massive fan of John Cena, massive mark for him. It actually took me 10 plus years to realize what the definition of mark meant. I never really, if somebody called me a mark in 2012, I was like, what the hell is that? Now I know. Now I know what it means.
Booker T called Goldberg a mark, and I thought he called him a mark ass bitch. I was like, oh,
are
you taking it there with him?
Yeah, no, but I mean, the first, just WrestleMania 22 was one of the first wrestling DVDs I've ever gotten, and it just really, just hooked me into what it is today, and I just became a massive fan. There was a time where I did stop watching it for a little while, for, three years, and I feel like a lot of people go through that phase where they kind of just stop watching, especially in high school. I mean, a lot of people I talked to were like, I stopped watching wrestling in high school, in ninth grade, then I picked it up again my senior year. I'm like, huh, I guess I'm not the only one who did that. So but ever since I restarted watching in 2011, I've been hooked.
So you came back the year before I came back from my fuck you bitch from buying WCW strike. Came back, Rock Cena too.
Oh wow, because so like 2013.
I say I came back then because I purchased that pay-per-view for my nephew who was getting into wrestling, but I didn't really, really come back until, what was it, Raw 1000?
Wow. All right, yeah. I started watching, we started watching it, like, I remember I started watching it again the night of TLC 2011. So this is
significant, huh?
Yeah, exactly. 100%, 100%. We're here talking about the 2011 Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Let's dive right in, man. I gotta say, I didn't take any breaks, and when I really should have, this is probably the longest break I've taken in terms of current product, because I usually keep my finger on the pulse, because I got used to watching wrestling every Monday, so when I fell out of SmackDown, I was always present for Raw. So it was like, now this is like the first time I'm kind of like out of touch of the week to week. It's crazy. I remember this pay per view like it was. I wanted to saying that this is probably the last good storyline I remember the WWE having like that.
Oh, 100%. Not even just the one Cena and Punk. There was also Orton and Christian, which was a significant storyline.
That was the first shirt I had on that I changed out of my Christian shirt. my Adam and Christian, I should say.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I actually forgot about that match. We'll talk about that in a little while. But, yeah, you guys ready to dive in and talk about the 2011 Money in the Bank pay-per-view?
Can I get a disclaimer?
Sure.
I watched this pay-per-view with 2020 eyes. My first time seeing it. I'm sorry, guys. I was on my fuck you bitch buying WCW strike. So I was watching it. Now, I seen bits and pieces, and I know the story behind the Punk and Cena.
Yeah.
Anybody who watches wrestling would. I remember seeing the pipe bomb the week after it happened because my brother showed me, and the ice cream promo week after it happened because my brother showed me. So I am abridged of everything leading up to the main event. Everything else, not so much. But I watched it. 2018, I watched it from a critical standpoint, so I didn't get the enjoyment of someone who was watching it while it was happening week to week. So, don't hate me, everyone.
I didn't even watch it when it was happening week to week, because like I said, I started watching it shortly after, so I heard about the storyline, but I didn't get the chance to see it as it was happening.
Okay.
But it's all good. Let's go. The first match we had of that pay-per-view was a Money in the Bank ladder match. I believe it was for, if I'm not mistaken, the SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yes.
And we had Mr. Daniel Bryan versus Kane versus Sheamus versus Sin Cara versus Wade Barrett versus Heath Slater versus Cody Rhodes and versus Justin Gabriel. A lot of names there.
Hated.
You hated who?
No, I said it's eight people.
Oh, I thought you said I hated him. What were your thoughts?
Speaking of hating him, I had one question right off the rip of this.
What's up?
And this was the one question I had throughout the whole match, because, the question is, why is Kane here?
I mean, he didn't, yeah.
That's the thing. He won the previous year, right?
Yeah, he won in 2010. He cashed in the same night.
All right, so we're gonna put him in again now, and he fits like a thumb in a. Let me stop. All right.
You gonna say thumb in a bum?
No, you can say your thoughts, bro.
No, I got caught mid-sentence at thumb, and I didn't have the last part,
There was a lot of people in this match. Not a lot, but there's a few. Kane was definitely one of them. Sin Cara, I mean, Sin Cara was hot that year. Like, this was when Sin Cara first started coming to the WWE, first started just making a huge impact in, you know, wrestling. But I think looking back now, it didn't make sense because, like, Sin Cara wasn't doing anything for his... He was just a human highlight reel. That's all he was.
But matches like this, don't you need those?
Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. But also, I feel like you should have just one big guy in a match, in that kind of match.
That's why Kane was there. You had Barrett.
Exactly. Yeah, I said that.
But Barrett doesn't work like a big man.
No.
You know, so like that's why I figured that's why they put Kane there, but it still didn't fit though. But Sin Cara was killing it there in this match.
Yeah.
Like, you say what you want about his run, and, you know, I'm personally of the mindset, like, he kind of caught a raw end of the deal because, like, he was a superstar going into it, and he had to kind of sacrifice the things that made him a superstar to learn the WWE style of business, and it just wasn't really able to transfer, and then they just took the whole gimmick and ran with it after they let him go.
Yeah.
But this was a good showing for him if you single good part out. Yeah.
Another very good wrestler in this match was Justin Gabriel, man. He did not. I'm sorry, not Justin Gabriel. Yeah, Justin Gabriel. Justin Gabriel was just amazing in this match.
He looked like a little kid.
Hi. Yeah. He looked like a TNA guy.
I was
watching this whole time, like, he looks TNA.
Explain what you mean by TNA guy.
All the TNA guys, like 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago, looked
just a little boy.
Exactly like Justin Gabriel did in that match.
He looked like he was
a tan, really little boy haircut, and just gear wise.
I mean, he looked like a toy. He looked like a little kid's toy. That's what he looked like.
Oh my god. A little kid's toy. So you're saying he looks like an action figure.
Toys, like if you go into WrestleRock rings and stuff, he looks like one of those toys. It's just generic,
That might have been what they were going for.
Like his name would be Mr. Payne or something like that.
Mr. Payne.
Justin, you never hear
that name? Yes, Justin, you gotta say year. You gotta say year.
Year.
Yeah, we got him.
That is the first time I'll ever say that on the podcast. I'm never saying that again. I'm never saying that again. Nerds, this is the first time you'll ever hear me say that. Live on this podcast when it drops.
Welcome to the champions.
Well, thank you. Welcome to Nerds of Wrestling.
Yes. Welcome to be here. But yeah, who else was in this? Yeah, Heath Slater was in this somewhere, right?
Yeah, Heath Slater was in it. Cody Rhodes. Like I said. Huh?
This is before he had kids.
I think this is before the I have kids, damn it. Yeah.
Before his kids were born.
or before Brock Lesnar said, fuck your kids, man.
Yeah.
But your kids.
At this point, the other ones weren't born yet.
Yeah, the other ones weren't born yet. Man. But all jokes aside, though, you know, going off track, I 100% see Heath Slater absolutely killing it in the indies when everything goes back. I see him taking a bunch of promote indie
this show.
Indie
booking. We can briefly run over that.
Oh yeah, 100%.
More on that later,
guys.
Yeah.
But someone was like, oh, they knew Daniel Bryan was winning this match. And that was a given. That was a given going into this match. Even rewatching it, you know, 9 years later, like, oh, yeah, you knew Daniel Bryan was going to win. But I'm surprised that Zack Ryder wasn't in any of these Money in the Bank matches. Because 2011 was like the rise for Zack Ryder.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I'm not surprised because they weren't giving any Zack Ryder any kind of respect at this point, you know? They were barely giving it to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So I have to quickly remember who won Money in the Banks to remember, maybe, to figure out who won this match. Like I said, I went in as blind. So then, like, closer down to the end, I was like, oh, Daniel Bryan wins. And then, like, shortly after, he won.
No, and you're saying this all today, like, watching it for the first time.
Yeah, I was saying, who won matches for me to say who won this year? And then I was like, oh, it's Daniel Bryan. Because it's Daniel Bryan.
It's Daniel Bryan. Exactly. It's Daniel Bryan.
I was looking at, did we talk about Sheamus? I feel like we're gonna roll with Sheamus.
We didn't really talk about Sheamus, and for Daniel Bryan, Sheamus wasn't being used properly either in 2011. Really, 2010, kind of. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, 2010 was when he debuted, right? And he won the title.
Honestly, we brought this up when we were watching it earlier. We were saying, yo, they put a lot on this girl, real early.
Yeah. They 100%
did. Sheamus always had peaks and valleys. It's like, they give him a lot, he gets injured, then they build him up slow, but then they give him everything, and then he gets injured, and then it's like, up and down, up and down, up and down. Now we're going to them building him up again, like, currently. Because they're probably going to fucking give him everything again.
Hey.
She probably, said hi to you guys, not me. She probably has no idea who I am.
Does now. Welcome to Nerd Wrestling. Now I'm about to curse. He had a hell of a powerbomb spot here on Sin Cara through that table, and then we had to stretch the dude to the back.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Talking about Sheamus, like we said, you know, he went through a lot of peaks, like you said, peaks and valleys, and 2010 was his year. 2011 wasn't really his year. Then 2012 was his year again. He won the Royal Rumble. You know, I'm jumping forward a little bit. We'll go back. But, you know, he won the Royal Rumble. He went to WrestleMania. He beat Daniel Bryan in 18 seconds. And then I really don't remember what happened after that because it's too much to, you know, recall. But, no, 2011 was, like, wasn't really his – it wasn't his year. This wasn't his time.
I mean, he had his run with the title the year before, so at this point, he was just there to make everybody else look good. And that's really what he's been doing, you know, ever since.
Like I said, he has peaks and valleys. So, like, he has moments where he makes people look better, and he has moments where he,
He wasn't on that release list, so that tells you how they really value him.
Because they built him up to mean something again. Like, he's beating up Shorty Gable in him, I think.
Good. Somebody needs to, because they
more
that later.
More than that later. Because I don't want to go into a tangent about, you know, all these wrestlers who deserve better.
We had a
you know where it's going.
I know exactly.
Daniel Bryan wins with a karate kick to Wade Barrett off of that ladder. That was pretty cool.
I liked it. I mean, I really did like it. I really did enjoy that. That Money in the Bank ladder match, it was good. If we're being honest, all Money in the Bank matches are good. They're good. And we're definitely going to touch base a little bit about the Money in the Bank matches tomorrow. But,
I enjoyed
more of that later.
More on that later.
After we got to the one half later.
More on that later.
You know, so 1 through 5, what would you guys rate that Money in the Bank ladder match? To open up the show,
I'd give it a 3.5. More near 4 than a 3.5, but you know, I'd say 3.5.
Yeah, I would say 4. I would say a 4. You know, altogether 4. 4 stars for that Money to Make match. The next match we have is the WWE Divas title match. My girlfriend. Kelly versus Brie Bella.
Here's the thing, right? A thing with the Bellas, you know what I mean, my girls. More Nikki than Brie. But you know, like, I rock with Brie a little tiny bit, you know? And I was trying. Like, Stan just got him a step back from Brie. I was like, no, don't do that to the girls.
I can't talk about this, man. I didn't watch.
Kelly went over. There you go. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I saw that part.
It was you.
That match.
Huh?
It was too long to be that match.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know how long it was. It was longer than most of the, you know.
Longer than 3 minutes.
Yeah, which says a lot for the women matches back in 2011, because they were only like 2 to 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
And it's like, you know, like in certain matches you can blame, like, this match was this bad because of this person. It was everyone. Girls on the outside made it bad. The announcers made it worse.
Oh, my God.
The storyline from what I got from it was about them calling Kelly Kelly skinny or something.
Yeah. She doesn't eat. Yeah, I think Nikki Bella was like, she doesn't even eat. How could she beat you? I was like,
when I heard that, I said, oh yeah. I was like, oh, this is diva stuff. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
I get why they hate these girls.
Yeah. So rate that match. You know. Spoiler alert for the nerds who are listening and did not watch that match.
Can
Kelly
I
Kelly
what
won.
I take from that match to the first match?
Huh?
Can I give what I take from that match to the first match?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm just gonna give all five to the first match because this gets nothing from me.
Okay. All right.
First match is now 5 because I took it away from this one. This gets nothing.
Stan, you feel the same way?
I'm not gonna give the other match any more prop than it needs, but
listen, it made it look.
let me tell you, this was just I actually tried to watch the beginning of it, and then when I saw Kelly do the head scissors spot, that I was like, all right, I'm out of here.
Got to be out. Had to be out.
But the interest took too long. He came back and was like, "What? It didn't start yet."
I really did. I gave it a shot, and I was like, and then she did the really girly helicopter thing. All right, this is enough.
Yeah, no, this is enough.
Which
this
is not
enough.
A good look to begin with. It doesn't look good. I wish everyone stops doing it.
Yeah,
there's no I've seen do it that makes it look good.
Ray. Yeah, if you're not Ray or Ray Phoenix, if you're not either of the Rays, don't do it.
But even with that, it's how. It's not on the person giving, it's on the person taking. So if the person taking does it dumb, then it's dumb, you know?
If the person doesn't sell it right, then it looks dumb on both. Yeah, I know what you mean. So, I don't know. I give this match negative 3. not even negative 5. Negative 3.
I'm not going to rate it. Yeah.
It's all good. I mean, you know, before we go to the next match, what women match was really good in that year? In like 2009, 2010, 2012.
I don't know what match was good in that year.
But the women matches really stepped it up in like 2015, 2014 when NXT started picking up. They started introducing all these girls. But that's another discussion for later.
Is that when they started putting NXT on the network?
Yeah. No, 2014 they did.
That's when Natty and Paige and Emma and all of them was still
Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, all
of
them, yeah.
You gotta remember, they were kind of still transitioning out of the quote-unquote the diva era, where they were getting more supermodels that look good for television rather than athletes.
Yeah.
So now that you've got this whole NXT thing that's kind of like a new version of the old territories where they're able to own the skills and have more of them under contract than you were maybe before, to be able to have on your roster to train before you bring up and put them on television. It's a little more of a landscape now. Back then, it was only limited down to, you know, who's pretty enough to be on television. And then we gotta try to train these girls the best we can in the most limited amount of time we can do it.
Train these girls the fastest we can so we can get their pretty selves on TV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But more on that next time. More on that next time. Because I go on like a whole tangent about this.
Shout out to Eva Marie.
Oh,
I hate Eva Marie though. It was not in the ring, but you know,
The next match we're talking about. Sorry to cut you guys off. The next match is Mark Henry versus The Big Show. Battle of the Big Men, I guess. You know, it's. I know they feuded for a while back in like 2011.
My only note is I hate big man matches. And I'm super not into this one because I'm watching 98 The Giant and it makes me hate this man. So,
you're watching what?
Watching 98 and we're watching The Giant.
Oh, okay.
This is the nastiest nigga you can see. Sorry for the N word. This ain't the nastiest man you can look at. Oof. That's a nasty man.
Boy.
So I was double not with this. So I'm just gonna sit here and smile.
So the nerds who are listening to this, she's really smiling right now. She's just looking at us smiling.
Let's start with love. Let's open up with some love. This was Mark Henry at his best, or near, and or entering into that phase of where he would become his best. He was no more games. He was just, he didn't name it the Hall of Pain yet, but he was in that space, you know. He was destructive, he wasn't smiling, he wasn't fathering more hands or getting caught up in any transvestite blowjobs or anything like that. He was look at him, 10 years before that. But now he's coming into himself, he's being, and it's so funny to hear the Big Show say in his promo about how with Mark Henry's finally being the monster and the athlete they all thought he could be. And it's really, really funny hearing that from that guy. You know? It's really, really funny hearing that from that guy. But Mark Henry here was, I can't say anything bad about Mark Henry. He was great. He did his job. My problem with this match came in with the Big Show, and I don't really mean it. I don't like to, you know, shove on the Big Show, because like I appreciate the Big Show. I really do. I really, really do. As a talent, as an athlete, I do. But I agree with my co-host. You there's too many times where you just quote, the giant dropped the ball. Too many times, you know? Too many times, you know. And then kinda with this match, he left his feet too much. He was doing too much. Trying to be a high flyer, you know, jumping off the top rope. Like, what are you doing?
This guy, he's missing.
So what?
Some Tim's and a cigarette.
He's missing his Tim's and a cigarette. But the match itself, you know, I would have liked to see them do more big man stuff to each other rather than try to be high flyers.
I appreciate that it didn't go big man.
Yeah.
It made me hate it a little less, but I was still not with the Big Show, so I couldn't.
I didn't like him leaving his feet so much. I didn't like that. That was out of character for me.
If he had his Tims on, then it would have weighed him down.
Alright, so after the match.
So you think of the match?
Yeah, no, so the match wasn't that exciting for me. I'm assuming you guys feel the same, like you guys were just meh.
Yeah, it got exciting. The exciting part came after when he took the chair to me, you know? He took the chair and he did the Vader bomb off the top. He did another injury angle. It was crazy, like, even like with the 2020 eye, like the visual and the thought of like, oh my god, the show breaking his leg. Think about that.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's crazy. So
that part resonated.
All right. What would you guys rate it 1 through 5? I give it like a 2.
Phil.
Yep.
2. All right. 2 fair. So the next match we are talking about is the Raw Money in the Bank. I almost said SmackDown. The Raw Money in the Bank ladder match. We had R-Truth versus Rey Mysterio versus Evan Bourne versus Del Rio versus The Miz versus Kingston versus Jack Swagger versus Alex Riley. I really, really enjoyed this Money in the Bank ladder match. Because, first of all, you had The Miz and Alex Riley. They were already beefed. They were already having a feud together, so that added to the match very, very well. You got R-Truth in here, who for some reason went through some weird heel phase in 2011, which I still, almost 10 years later, do not get.
Sorry, I just saw that comment. I'm so sorry.
Hold on, we have to address Shonda real fast. Shonda, the Tony Yeager album wrote us John Cena.
Oh, shit.
And then you had, you have Rey Mysterio, Evan Bourne, and, those two right there are already highlight reels for that Money in the Bank match. What were your guys' thoughts on this Money in the Bank ladder match?
Go first this time, sir.
Huh?
Want to go first, Mike? Sir?
Me? Me? Yes, me? Oh, shit. Well, I'll be honest with you. This match literally drove me to drink. I had to pour another one. But when I realized we were talking about this match, holy shit, wait a minute.
let me slide on that. Everybody grabs ladders.
Yo.
Everybody grabs a ladder. At first, I thought Matt was like, don't grab the smallest ladder until R-Truth came out and grabbed the step stool.
I'm sorry, Matt Sydal. Who's Matt Sydal?
Matt Sydal.
You mean Evan Bourne?
Evan Bourne. I know it was Matt Sydal. So.
I'm just kidding, I know.
I know it was Matt Sydal. It took me everything not to scream say it to my face when you say Alex.
I was screaming.
I was so sad when they let him go. Yeah, everybody grabs the ladder and then comes the ladder fight. Oh,
the most irresponsible, dangerous thing
you can do. Ladder fight. Yay!
Can we just talk about who they attacked first? Del Rio. And the way he sold it was absolute garbage. I'm just going to go on a tangent. I really do not know what WWE saw in him, saw in that man. They gave him the push in the Royal Rumble. He won that. They gave him the push in the Money in the Bank. He won that. Like, why? Why? And like I said, a lot of people thought that was my fucking uncle. No, that's not my uncle. Like, I'm not related to that man. Like, but I was never a fan of Alberto Del Rio. I would have been happy if R-Truth won the Money in the Bank that year. Anybody but Del Rio.
So this one was another one where I was playing a guessing game. I was like, who wins this match? Is it Miz? Who's the winner? And eventually he was like, wait, no, this is Del Rio. But I don't hate Del Rio, the wrestler, as much as I hate Del Rio, the person. Scumbag City. You don't scream to the police. She has the coke about your girlfriend or your fiance who proposed to you.
That's another story. That's another story.
Elfra 6ix9ine Takashi.
But where the last fight kind of made me say, the end kind of did it for me. Just how, dumb it was. How, Dario, threw Ray off and, he threw him on the ladder, but the ladder started accidentally going back towards him.
Not even that. The fact that he ripped off his mask. That was disrespectful alone.
Yeah.
I know it was part of the show, this and that, but I don't know. I don't want to sound stupid here. I'm not going to say anything, sound dumb.
We have arguments about who's the real rock all the time. You cannot sound stupid to us.
I'm a fan of a wrestler ripping off the mask to a certain extent. It depends on who's doing it to who. Del Rio ripping the mask off Mysterio makes absolutely no sense at all.
I feel you coming from that. Let me say. Like, now I gotta even change how I look at that because I never even. Okay, so I'm looking at this match and I'm fucking hating it from Rip because everybody just grabbed the ladder and took the ladder with them to the ring. And they just started, and the whole match, it was no wrestling, and it was just everybody just throwing ladders at each other. This was nothing like the first one. This was nothing like the first ladder match we saw that night. This one was just cartoon chaos all over.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Oh, and then not to be outdone by Michael Cole pointing out that the Miz jammed his knee and had to be taken to the back.
Yeah.
You know? I never heard of anybody jamming their knee.
Or like tweaking. Didn't they say like tweak their knee or something? Like he hyperextended it?
Even if they said tweaked, I could have got a... I've heard of people jamming their thumb. You know, like, that just sound, that sounds like you don't know what you're talking. It does sound like you don't know what you're saying. You sound like you've never been in the ring. You've never been anywhere before where you've had to really suffer a legitimate sports injury. Or sound like you're talking out of your ass, all right? But, more on that. I didn't get into this match until the Miz ran back out. When the Miz ran back out, I was like, all right, the way that they're doing this, like, the storyline, it makes sense, have him come up and do that. So he gets up to the top, and at first I'm kind of pissed because, mind you, I never watched this whole pay-per-view before. I just watched the last match. So I don't know the sequence of how this goes down, nor do I really remember who won this match, really. So I'm fake into this at the end when I see this. I was just pissed off because it was just a dumb match to me. But Miz gets to the fucking ring, runs up the ladder, and I'm like, oh, shit, he's going to get it. Here comes Rey Mysterio. I'm kind of mad at this point that Rey Mysterio took him out because I'm thinking that they're dragging it. Patron gets up to the top, and he takes Mysterio's mask off. And I'm like, oh, all right, then that makes sense why he wins it. And then it was funny, like, it was fucking hilarious. The ladder was supposed to go one way, but it tilts back the other. And it creates a domino effect to everything else in the ring. Everything goes crashing down. And then he has to scramble.
He has to get up and reset real fast.
Yeah, that right there was the whole match to me, because that was the only real thing that really fucking happened in the whole thing.
You know, like, that right there was like, did this man really just fall off the ladder?
Yeah, but it made sense, though, because it was the one thing
in his face that he wasn't supposed to.
It was the one thing in the match that made sense. So like, oh, the ladder tipped and it tipped over, so of course you fall, whatever. But back to the point about him ripping a mask off, I feel you. I feel why they did it, because that was the only way that they could get to the point that they wanted to get to in the storyline. But I feel you. If you're going to take Rey Mysterio's mask off, you had better be of Rey Mysterio's stature, at least. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to build Del Rio to be of that stature, of that well. But he wasn't.
No.
So to have him do something like that to Rey Mysterio, I agree. Out of pocket.
Especially that early in his career, when he wasn't even in the company for a year. And you're gonna rip the mask off a legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like kick him in the balls or something. You know, take his mask off.
Push him off the ladder. You know, he's a professional wrestler. He knows how to sell it. Like, if he'll fall on the ropes and he'll be better by, you know, like 20 minutes after that. But you do not rip the mask off. Like I said, it depends on who's doing it to who. Alberto Del Rio ripping the mask off of Rey Mysterio was absolutely ridiculous, and I was just pissed off. Like, even watching that match a year later, I'm like, yo, did he really won this match? Like, did he really just take the mask off a legend like that? Like, are you serious? Disrespectful.
And the thing is, Rey, I gotta put some of this on Rey, because Rey is so, he's kind of the Undertaker in this regard, where you have this legendary thing about you, uh-huh, that you're just so willing to want to give up. You want to give it to the right person. You want to give it away so bad to the right person. You want to give his streak away to the right person. Rey Mysterio is the same way. He wants to give his mask away to the right person. That's what they're waiting for his son, I hear, low-key. But I feel like by doing that, they think that they're helping the business, but I feel like, in effect, because of the business where it is, where you don't really have anybody that is worthy of these things, now you're giving it to people that aren't worthy, and you're leaving the business, now you're leaving us without anything to look to.
Exactly. 100%. 100%. Yeah, and then, you know, obviously, you know, after that spot, you know, we were talking about, he ripped the mask off Mysterio, and Mysterio kind of, like, was stumbling on a ladder, that poor man. I felt so bad. I'm just watching this. I'm like cringing as he's falling. I'm just like,
oh,
you're the poor guy. And then, fucking Del Rio.
Covering his eyes, like, that's gonna cover his face.
Fucking, yo, and The thing that cracked me up was when he pushed, you know, Mysterio fell off the ladder and everything. Alberto Del Rio fell off the ladder, you know, kind of stumbled off, and he still had the mask in his hand. If you're going to be an a-hole and a dick, you want to make make a message to somebody, throw the mask on the floor, throw it at him, or like, stomp on it or something. Like, you know, do something. You know, don't carry it.
Two things he could have did that I should bring that up. One, if you throw it to the crowd, you're a baby face, low-key, right? So this is what you should do.
Yeah, yeah.
You stuff it in your tights.
Stick it right behind you or something.
After they both fell off that ladder, that wasn't supposed to happen, right?
I don't know. I mean, it looked like
tossed it. He tossed it, like he like chucked it after he got up from falling off the ladder to climb up the ladder.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought he carried it as he was going up. I'm like, yo, just let go of the damn thing. Just toss it.
Nah, he should have put it in his trunks though.
Should have put it in his trunks. Yeah. Seriously. So that was that match. Del Rio won, unfortunately. What would you guys rate that match 1 through 5?
3.
I gotta give it a 3 just because of the ending.
3.5.
I'm watching this match. Art, I know you feel the same way. Watching this shit, it was nothing like the first match. First match was actual, like, I felt like they were wrestling around the ladders. Now, I felt like they were just taking the ladders and just freaking throwing them at each other and just falling through shit.
Yeah.
You know? Spot stress versus psychology.
Definitely.
I even bring this point up. Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon had a match on the ladder in the ring. Triple H and The Rock had a match with a ladder in the ring. Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho had a match with a ladder in the ring. Nowadays,
they do stunts off. It's a stunt fest. That's what the Money in the Bank ladder, the Money in the Bank match is nowadays. Just like a big highlight reel. And
Shelton Benjamin.
Yo, he's a GOAT, dude. Talking about him real quick. Talking about him. Yo, let's talk about Shelton Benjamin real quick. Oh, my God. That man was like, he was the epitome of like the human highlight reel in that Money in the Bank ladder match. He was insane. Was nuts.
Fact. The reason why there is even talking about Money in the Bank ladder match after the first year it happened is because of Shelton Benjamin. The Shelton Benjamin is the reason why we have a pay per view called Money in the Bank. There's a match for Money in the Bank. There's a concept. Money in the Bank. Why? Not because Edge won the first one and cashed it in on John Cena and created an unpredictable environment. No, Shelton Benjamin. No, this is what you do with a ladder on a big stage when you have opportunity and space to do your thing. And so everybody took that attitude and they took it and they ran with it and they let the plot, because everybody's trying to be Shelton Benjamin now.
100%. Benjamin. I feel like he should still be in some of the matches, you know. So he doesn't even have to win; just have him be in some of the matches, you know. Get that pop from the crowd, you know. Do some crazy stuff. Obviously, you're not going to see him doing moonsaults off the top of the ladder like he did in WrestleMania 25. You know.
You don't know that, Justin.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know that. You know, I don't. But it's crazy, man. I give, you know, that was a real cool concept we talked about for Shelton Benjamin. The next match we're talking about is Christian versus Randy Orton. My opinion, fantastic rivalry, fantastic storyline. I wish it went on longer, but it went on for the right amount of time that it did. Great match. Both of them just fantastic wrestlers. Great chemistry in the ring. Now, what were you guys' thoughts on that match?
Go ahead, Art.
Of course you do it when I'm being pretty. I loved it. I love Christian. I was disgusted by the spit.
That was disgusting. That, y'all, Yo, if I'm a wrestler and you're gonna tell me, hey, I'm gonna spin in your face, I'll go, nah, do something else. Nah, don't. Especially like now, especially like in the state we're in now.
All we're thinking about is COVID right now.
You know, 2012, I would have been ill. Looking at it now, I'm like, yo, that's not right. That's not right. What are you doing?
Stop!
You can go away.
Yes. Don't do that.
Nah, but for real though, like, honestly, somebody made a comment about Ray giving back to the business. This is giving back to the business. You let a man spit in your fucking face? Are you kidding me? No wonder he got disqualified.
kicked him right in the balls, dude.
In his mouth.
He died. Like, he just like... Oh, I would have been pissed. Yo, Christian, it was at that moment Christian knew he fucked up.
Oh, man. At that moment, he knew, damn, I'm only keeping this belt for a night, huh?
Oh, man. And, moving forward just a little bit, Edge called him out on that. He's like, hey, congratulations on winning the title. This and that. He's like, but you won it by DQ. You didn't win it fairly. Yeah. You know, which is true.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Money in the Bank attacking people after Elimination Chambers. Yeah.
but Edge always won his matches fairly.
Edge can't talk. Edge has the most cheapest title wins out of any wrestler that's ever laid up their boots.
All those cheap title wins were off the Money in the Bank cashes, which is what the cash is all about.
He can't have that energy and then call out his brother.
True, but like I said, all those money in the bank, the time he beat Undertaker for the World Heavyweight title, the time he beat Cena for the WWE Championship, yeah, they were cheap, but...
Listen, Edge, you walking around with Eddie Guerrero's widow a year after he beat the bucket? I don't want to hear about your morals, all right?
Oh my God. So changing subjects, what were you guys?
All right, Edge, Mister. I'm gonna take my. Wait. Speaking of your best friends, that's how you do your best friends, right? I'm gonna take my best friend's girl while he's injured, and I'm gonna go on television. I don't want to hear about your morals, Mister Rated R. Okay.
All right.
In all reality, if he was able to take her, she wasn't his.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact. No. That's a fact right there. But get that out the way, though. Where are they, brother? Or anyone that they know that they're friends with. Or best friends with. If you have that kind of relationship, that's not going to go down. If you're my brother, I'm not looking at your girl. Your girl's off limits.
Oh, man.
If you
want to
be technical, can't take Christian's girl. So I guess, you know.
All right, we're done. We're not talking about who stole whose girl.
More on this later. Edge can't talk about how Christian won his world titles. He can't. Edge got 27 world titles off of bones and scraps after matches that had no business happening after matches that already happened that had no business with him in it. So,
all right, more on that on the next episode of Who Took Who's Girl. Edge, yeah, he called him like a whiny.
We need to do a panel. Oh, janky wrestling relationships, B.
You definitely do. Okay.
Yo, I love Edge, though.
We also need to put Dan and say when WCW 2000 at, because I'm waiting, Dan.
Yeah, I know. I'll talk to Dan about that. But, that match was good for what it was. Like I said, the Christian and Randy Orton storyline was absolutely fantastic. Aside from Cena and Punk, that Christian and Edge Christian and Orton was a okay match, but it definitely didn't live up to the hype for Punk and Cena, if you guys know what I mean.
Twice.
Yeah.
We ain't gonna spend all this time talking about Christian and not acknowledge the fucking Viper though.
How good is the match? Orton was savage in that match, trying to RKO him two times in that through that table, and it didn't break. Poor Young.
Yeah, this is like my favorite Randy Orton here. Like, I like Randy Orton when he has his beard grown in and he's holding his big gold world title, you know? Like, I like this Randy Orton. Like, the only thing, man, this is the thing. I like this Randy Orton so much that I don't like Randy Orton when he's a baby face. He was a baby face here, and I'm fucking with him. You know?
Yeah.
You know? Man, shout out to Randy Orton. One of the GOATs. One of the GOATs.
You know?
Do you guys wish that storyline kind of went further, or did it end at like the right time?
I wish Christian got more in his career, but that's, you know, another show.
Yeah,
I'm not a Christian fan. Like, I appreciate the. Here's the thing: he's one of the best people I've ever seen in the ring. Like, actually, like do work in the ring. He's one of the best. Honestly, I love the way he takes backdrops and shit like that. Like, he's one of my favorite people to watch get his ass kicked, I guess. But I'm not feeling Christian. I'm not a Christian guy. He never worked for me. Never when he was always second to Edge. He was the Edge. He went out of the phone. Don't killed him for me when he called him the creepy little bastard. And I was like, that's what he is. That's why I don't like him. He's But yeah, Christian just never worked for me. So when they injected him into the world title scene, I was like, I'm kind of tapped out of it. But Randy Orton's in it, so But then they ended up having great matches together. Like, and when I'm watching this at the time, like, these matches were like catching me off surprise, because I'm not expecting Christian to come up and have a match like that. Because, like, even though you appreciate Christian, I appreciate Christian now. Like, I'm thinking to myself, like, what was this, 10 years ago almost?
Yeah, nine years ago.
Now I would appreciate him now.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it like, Christian, this bum ass in this match. Da, 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 da. Oh, snap, he had a good match, though. That's crazy. So I remember that having that affect him at that time.
Having that, mindset.
Watching Christian wrestle Randy Orton now at this time. Now I can objectively say, from a bell to bell perspective, this probably was the match of the night.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I want to touch on that though. Go on the match. Yes.
Obviously, the main event, one of the match that still talks about, almost nearly 10 years later, guys. For the nerds who know, for the people who never seen this match, if you want to watch this pay-per-view, go for it, but I highly recommend this match, which was between WWE Champion John Cena at the time, and he defended his title against the hometown hero in Chicago, Illinois, CM Punk. Fantastic match, fantastic storyline. I cannot put that storyline in that match over enough. Just everything about that match was gold. Yeah, that whole storyline was just pure gold. Thoughts?
Let me go. All right. Here's the thing. This is probably, from a storyline perspective, this is probably one of the last. If you want, all right. Besides The Rock and John Cena, because that was also another storyline that was real life, transcended into real life type of issue, whatever. But besides that, this is probably the last storyline within WWE confines that they had that I can think of. Feel free to comment on the one if I'm missing. But, you know, this is the one that sticks out to me, the pipe bomb thing. And you're right. CM Punk was the home crowd hero. And that's where the problem started in this match for me. Alright? This is where the problem started in this match for me. Because leading into this pay-per-view, if you take the pipe bomb and you take his positioning in this feud against John Cena, it's pretty clear that CM Punk is the heel in this equation. John Cena is the babyface that is set up to defend the WWE and it's honor and glory. So off the rip, you have a conflict of interest. Off the rip, you have conflict of interest. Because now you're in this man's hometown, in the loudest arena that you can be in. Ask every wrestler that's ever wrestled for any reputable organization. They'll tell you, the Allstate Arena in Chicago is their favorite.
Yeah, because...
Outside of Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Now you're in this arena where the acoustics are on 12. And you have them all rooting for your heel. Why is that a problem? The way they conducted that match, they had CM Punk in control of most of that match in the beginning. So the crowd isn't really responding after the entrances. The entrances come, CM Punk, All right. Now, what I was saying, and last time on Talk of Champions, Nerds of Wrestling, Talk of Champions, the problem that I had with this match was that John Cena was clearly the babyface, positioned as the babyface going into this match, and CM Punk was playing the role of the heel that was going to take the WWE title away from the WWE, while John Cena was playing with the task of defending the honor and having this moral thing about him where he wants to defend his manhood and the championship and all that stuff, right? So now they go, but now they're in CM Punk's hometown. Now they're in his territory, so the crowd is on his side. The crowd is cheering CM Punk out of this building. Yeah, they're booing John Cena like you've never seen anybody else in the wrestling annals besides the Vicky Guerrero been booed before. They're booing John Cena. But now, the problem comes, we start the match, CM Punk is in control of most of the beginning of the match. He's in control of most of the match until they get into the latter sequences. And what that does, it takes the crowd out of it. Subconsciously. Because you're working heel. If John Cena now is the guy that's putting the heat on the hometown guy, he's the one putting the punishment to CM Punk, beating his ass, doing all these crazy, dirty stuff to him. Now the crowd is really going to be booing every move that John Cena makes. A la, look at The Rock and Hulk Hogan from WrestleMania 18. The Rock and Hogan, they kind of picked up on the fact that the roles had reversed. So they kind of played off of that fact. They didn't really do that here. They kind of kept in pocket here. John Cena was taking a lot of punishment until like the latter stages of the match, and that's where the crowd got back into it. Hold up. Jay Sampson. Yeah! What up, bro?
Hart, what are your thoughts?
They were working the wrong size they needed to work on, so it was like the crowd was sitting on their hands. Hi, Jason.
What's up, Jay?
So the crowd's sitting on their hands instead of booing and reacting, and then they got a little chance because Tina got a little heat, and it was booing, and it was just like, y'all know better. Y'all know this is not how y'all book. I don't know. It's like you needed to book this like how you booked the Hearts going into Calvary.
That's true.
They tried that shit.
they booked it. You're the bad guy because you're leaving us. And Cena's the good guy. He's saving us. You're going in. You hear the crowd all night calling for CM Punk. Someone should have called that audible and said, Russell Hill.
No, but we can't make John Cena a heel. Are you crazy?
You don't have to wrestle dirty heel. You could just wrestle like.
Yeah, but John Cena doesn't do that. John Cena is helpful love. Also,
you know?
You know how bold John Cena is? Remember how this fucking match ended?
No, you're good. What were you saying?
Great thing, but the match itself, if you
just watch the match isolated from the story, it just didn't okay. Everybody's feelings in the match comes from watching the story and knowing the story. But if you take the match alone and just watch the match, you're just like, all right.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with you. If you're just watching the match as it's happening and you don't understand why it's happening, it just, like you said, it's okay. But as from a wrestling fan's perspective, like, you know what was going on X amount of months, you know what was happening, you know everything leading up to this match is, it basically just winner, it's life or death, basically, for the WWE. And that's what made this match so special. The story. The wrestling was fantastic, but the story 100% was just amazing. It's so good.
I felt like the match could have been better to me. Like, I felt like, alright, they had a good match, but we were working on the wrong sides of the ring. That's what it was for me. Like, it was a good match because, like, we still see Punk kicking out of 2 AAs.
I think it was 3.
Was it 3? It might have been 3.
Yeah, you kicked out of 3.
But, that match was, it took a while for it to build up because, like I said, you know, they were, if CM Punk was a heel and he was working out, it would have been much better. You know, they were working on opposite sides. But when it got to this later sequences, when they were trading off, like, you didn't know, like, they was really into the throes of the match.
Yeah.
It was really good, but, yeah, at the end of the day,
you can get lost because the reaction from the crowd wasn't where they needed it to be for how hot that crowd was.
I think
that crowd was too hot for it to be silent moments in the match. They were waiting to cheer, and they were waiting to boo, and they were waiting to react, and it was just like, Cena's wrestling good guy Cena.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying, like, if
the guy they want to cheer is beating up Cena, so they don't have nothing to react to.
It went both ways, though. I mean, it really went both ways. Like, both of them were just kicking out of everything. And that's, and like, that right there, you know, for any wrestling fan, it's like, holy shit. Like, he just kicked out of 3 AAs. Oh, my God, Cena kicked out of 2 GTSs.
And
like,
you can tell how they wanted to react from every time there was a kick out, the reaction that it was.
Like, but really. What really gave me goosebumps was if the nerds could recall, or you guys could recall, was when Cena did the 3rd AA and Punk kicked out, and Cena just like shook his head, like, what the fuck? Like, he just went to the referee and was like, are you serious? Like, what the hell?
Can I talk about that for a minute?
Huh?
Can I talk about that for a minute? It's my problem with John fucking Cena. Prostitute your finisher too much. John Cena, if you're listening, you're too great for that. You're too great.
Yo, can you imagine that if Cena's actually listening to this, like, when it drops?
Yes. John Cena, if you're listening to this, you don't even know. We got Vince Russo out here. You know, whatever. That's okay.
Weird. Gregory, the guy that got us out Vince Russo thing, right? John Cena was following him on Twitter.
Yeah, Vince Russo follows me on all my accounts now.
I know, right? My Twitter's like, it's only like Stan and a Vince Russo fan following me on my Twitter.
Yeah! Here's the thing, John Cena, you're listening. You're too great. John Cena, you're the only one we got left. You're the only real one we got left in wrestling.
Calm down, it's Stan. Calm down. It's okay, buddy.
It's you and Brock.
I think Stan needs a nap.
No. They need to hear this, Jake. It's John and it's Brock. That's all we got. And Brock don't even come at time. John, only you can come back and change things. Only you can come back and make us feel real.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Only you can prevent the forest fire that is at the arena wrestling.
Oh, my God. So talking, so, all right, Stan, Calm down, buddy. It's okay. It's okay. That is definitely a conversation for next time. but no, seriously though, like, what would you guys rate this whole, like, cause I give this match 4.5 and story 5. Yeah.
And I watched it going straight in, not watching the build or anything, not being invested. So I can give it a 4. It was a good match. I just felt that it could have been great if they would have booked it correctly. I like the aftermatch more than I like the match. I like Vince coming down and saying, get the Rio out here. Get the Rio. The Rio coming out getting kicked.
Getting kicked right in the head and then Punk leaving. I mean, I'm not, but, like, whoever says it's 5 stars, 100% I say it's 5 stars, too, but, you know, I'm just, I mean, but yeah, I said 4.5, but, I mean, it had that indie feel on the WWE, definitely, 100%, I feel that, you know, fuck it, you know, 5 stars, 100% 5-star match, 5-star storyline, because I'm changing my mind, you know, 5-star match, 5-star storyline, like I said, it's a match in a storyline being compared, not the storyline itself, but it's definitely a match being compared to quite a few matches in today, you know, like last year in Money in the Bank, AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins. Someone said, can we see another 5-star classic like from Cena and, you know, Cena and Punk? And I said, the wrestling's there, the story's not. The story, if you have a story like that, and you have a match like that, that's what makes a match 10 million times better.
So here's what I wanted to say from the last match. That story was good, okay, but the match was better than the story. This, the story was better than the match. It's like, the story blew the match up. Watching the story alone,
Take Vince back to 1997.
Montreal. Brett's about to leave with your belt. Much like CM Punk's about to leave with your belt. Are you going to let Brett leave the building with your belt, bro? Wait a minute. This is the difference between a 4 and a 5 to me, Justin. Because I'm looking at this like, if you're Vince McMahon,
yeah,
you just built this on hold. You built this whole thing on CM Punk not leaving here without my title, like the strip of me, his contract. Because you got the lawyer with you the whole night. You're in the ghost nation with this guy up to the mat itself, and you're gonna actually let this man leave with your belt?
You're right. No, you're right, dude. You're right. I feel you on that one, man. I feel you.
Bradshaw should have been waiting for him at the top of that little thing. Holly should have been in the back waiting by the limo.
Yo, dude.
They should have been right there waiting to stretch him.
Jerry Briscoe, Jarrett, even Pat Patterson, all of them.
Everybody. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, everybody knows, you know, before we end this, you know, everyone knows CM Punk ended up coming back after, you know, John Cena beat Rey Mysterio a few weeks later for the WWE Championship. He came back with his title. Cena had a title, and then which built up to SummerSlam. We're not going to talk about that today because that's like a whole another hour and a half discussion. More on that next time for sure. But,
we get back on the storyline. We can do
Big Sexy made a return. Big Sexy made a return. They made it
wild. And on top of that, CM Punk had a brand new one, which what I really liked was he had a brand new theme song coming back. So no one knew who it was. So everyone was like, who the hell is this? Then it comes out CM Punk with the title just staring down John Cena in the ring, which was just...
They kind of fucked Ray on his one WWE title when that's the only thing.
No, Jay, I 100% agree with you. He did change the WWE through 2011 through 2012. He deserved better.
But I'm sorry, Jay. Yes, it did. Can we spend like the last like whatever time we have here just like because Jay brought up a good point.
Yeah, we got about like 5 more minutes.
Cool. Can we talk about this last 5 minutes? Can we just dedicate it?
Hold on. What did Hart say? What?
Well, we can continue with the live. You're doing the podcast, right?
Yeah, we still are doing the podcast. We have
Justin said, I don't want no 3-hour podcast. That's fine.
Yeah, no, you can touch your podcast and continue on and do a little fun.
I mean, so I'll stop. And that concludes this episode on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for more future episodes. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds.